Exodus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Lynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we certainly appreciate you listening in. We want to take just a moment, as we always do, and invite you to come out and be with us. If you are in the listening area, maybe you're looking for a church home, maybe you're visiting, but we'd love for you to come out. Mount Lebanon is located just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits. You would take Highway 105 south towards Fosco, and from the red light where New River Building Supply is, I think it's exactly 3 miles from there, you would come to Baird's Creek Road on the right, and we're 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, so just a little ways out of town. We have on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Sunday school for all ages, including our college class, and we provide transportation for that from the college campus. If you are interested, you would need to let us know, but we have been doing that for some time. We usually have a pretty good turnout. 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service. You can look at our church website for more information, mountlebanonbc.org. It's good to have Noah in the radio station this morning. How are you getting along?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here this morning.
Good.
And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in, those who listen in on AM 1450, WATA, and 96.5, right here out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we are studying the subject of civics, and especially we have looked at, to begin with, what the Bible has to say and teach about civics. Actually, the Bible has a great deal to say about a person's relationship with their civil government, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In fact, if you think about it, if you study the Old Testament, especially the first five books of the Bible, that's called the Pentateuch, and it's the law of Moses. And so you're studying the law there, the civil and the religious law, but it has to do with the subject of civics. And this is part number 12. That we are in today. And the word civics, it means this: the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And we've looked at that in great detail, the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And for the past several weeks, we have focused on the Declaration of Independence and what it says about our rights. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6 says, "For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And a lot of people just don't know very much about our government, how it works, what our duties, what our responsibilities as citizens are. So we're trying to refresh and go over some of these things. In the Declaration of Independence, it says a great many things. We learn things about our rights. These are not just things that we learn from the mind of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and Patrick Henry and people like that. But these lessons, as we have already pointed out, and I'm not going to go back and go over that again, but they are in line with the Bible, God's Word. So these are not something that is contrary to, but complementary to each other. Of course, and we've talked about how the Declaration of Independence and the men at that time, their inspiration came from the Bible and from many Christian writers, philosophers, teachers along those lines. What does the Declaration of Independence teach about our rights? Well, quickly, we said that it teaches that our rights come from God, that we are endowed by our Creator, that these rights are unalienable. That means non-transferable. That means that these rights, being God-given, government doesn't give them. Government cannot take them away. They're given by God, and each individual is given these unalienable rights. They are self-evident, which means you ought to be able to just use some common sense and see it. that, you know, we talked about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the right of life. No man has the right to take another man's life or another person's life. That's God-given. It's unalienable. It's self-evident. We talked about this, that the purpose of government is to secure these rights. And so what is government supposed to do anyway? It would really help us in our nation if we would just learn and understand that. And the primary purpose of government is to protect the good and punish the evil. And we've talked about that over and over again. And then last week, we talked about this, the people's rights. And this is something that when we talk about the Declaration of Independence, we don't always even think about. But it does talk about the right of the people. And I'm going to read this. Now, the Declaration of Independence, they laid out their case for declaring their independence from Britain, that the time had come that there needed to be a separation, and that the colonies would be a separate and independent nation, no longer under the control of King George, Great Britain. And so they declared their independence. Well, they laid out reasons why they were doing this. And they said, they are talking here about what had been going on between the relationship from England and the colonies. And they said, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And so the founders believed this, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, that it was the right of the people, that it was the duty of the people to be the safeguards over their destiny, over their relationship with the government. And when a government became abusive, then it was their right, it was their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. See, they realized that the purpose of government was not to oppress them, not to tax them into oblivion, not to be their God, not to provide their every need, but to provide for their security, that they might have life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and not have to worry about being invaded, molested, robbed, stolen from, and all of those things. So they had a good understanding of civics and the purpose of government, and that they had a right and a duty to throw off such a government and to establish new guards. Now, they knew when they signed the Declaration of Independence that, the war was already happening, and the battle had already begun, and they knew that this wasn't going to make it any better, that it was going to be worse. In fact, I think it was maybe Benjamin Franklin, after they all signed, they said we'd all better stick together or we're all going to hang together. You know, what they had done was treason against the crown. And so they had to have great courage in order to do what they did. And so they knew that they were involved in a revolution. Now, we do need a revolution in this country, just not a violent one. And I hear some people and I read some things, and it seems like some people, you know, they think, well, that would be the answer. But I'll tell you, if there was a violent revolution in our country, it would be bad. It would be very, very bad. That's one thing we need to pray never happens in our country. But we need to pray that we could come together, that we could agree, that we could get some common sense in our country. And we do need a revolution. We need a political one. And I talked about that last week, about the good influence of a third party. And I also thought about this, and I'm not going to spend but just a minute, I'll just say this. I believe that the rise of Donald Trump, whether you like him or whether you don't, is evidence that people are fed up with just the same old, same old, same old thing. And I've talked about that a great deal, the Democrats and the Republicans. There's not a lot of difference between them sometimes. And they'll promise the world, and they get in, they don't do anything. And it's just the same old over and over and over again. Well, people's tired of that. And so in Donald Trump, they've rejected the career politicians in favor of somebody that's not a politician. People are tired of just the same old, running our country down the tubes. And it doesn't matter if it's the Democrats or the Republicans. They're all doing the same thing, some faster and some slower. But I think that people in this country are growing weary of the game that goes on between the Democrats and Republicans. So even a lot of the Republicans don't want Donald Trump. Well, people just fed up. They're fed up. So we talked about the influence of a third party that in our country in times past, historically, it has had a good influence, not a bad influence. We talked about that last week. We need a political revolution. We need a spiritual revolution. One where our nation returns to the God that blessed us and made us a nation. And once upon a time, our leaders, they understood that they weren't going to get anywhere without the blessing of the Almighty, without the blessing of the Lord, that they needed that. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And I know that many of the dispensational brethren, you know, they would let me know real quick that they'd say, "Well, Brother Wynn, that's talking about Israel, and God's not in the business of healing land today, and he was making a promise to Israel, and that doesn't apply to us," and all, you know, and I've heard a whole lot of that down through the years. But my response to that would be, let's try it and see. You know, I don't think it would be a bad thing if God's people, which are called by his name, would humble themselves and pray and seek the Lord's face and turn from their wicked ways. I do know this, historically speaking. And I know what people do. They say, "Well, that doesn't apply to us. That's talking about Israel and la, la, la." But historically speaking, there has been many times where God has intervened on behalf of our nation, where he has blessed us, where he has turned things around in response to national days of fasting, prayer, and repentance. And in the times of the colonies, many of the colonies declared, their governors declared times of fasting and prayer. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, it's well established that our presidents, many of them during World War I, World War II, they have called upon people to pray and call out to God. And God has blessed many, many times down through the years. He has blessed our nation, and it would just be foolish to deny that. And so let's try it and see. We need a revolution where we would turn back to the Lord. Well, today, what I want to do in the time remaining, I want to give you an example of how a proper knowledge of civics, and again, we're talking about the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works, how a proper knowledge of civics helped to bring about the establishment of freedom of religion in our country. And I'm very thankful that we still, in America today, in spite of, you know, we could look around and say, well, it's bad here and it's bad there, and there's a lot of bad things, but really and truly, we still have it pretty good, and I'm thankful for that. You know, we go to church. We don't really worry about being arrested. We don't worry about somebody breaking in and breaking up our service. You know, we have freedom to do these things. I have freedom to come and to say these things on the radio. And we're on other radio stations, and we're on one radio station every day of the week. 5-6 days of the week, we're on the radio. And getting the gospel out. And so we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to do that. Well, why can we do that? We have freedom of religion in America. And We see that expressed in Article 1 in the Bill of Rights. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And so there's actually, I think, five rights that are labeled or that are spelled out there in Article 1 of the Bill of Rights. And I come today, I have a heavy heart for our nation. Our country is very divided. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on every day. And it seems like there are many that are not trying to build it up, but actually just trying to tear it down. And you find that in Washington, you find that in the news media, you find that in sports, you find that in society, you find that on college campuses. There's a lot that's going on that just seems like it's just trying to tear down our nation and tear it apart. An example would be all this controversy that is going on with the national anthem, and it started Colin Kaepernick, I believe that's how you say his name, you know, quarterback for the 49ers. And in order to draw attention to Black Lives Matter movement and the police use of excessive force and all like that, he kneels during the national anthem. Well, that's all people's been talking about. And he did that, and then some of his teammates joined him. Then some of the other football players on other football teams begin to do the same thing. And last weekend, there was a football team, a college football team, Millikan College, I believe it was, up in the Midwest. I can't remember exactly where it was. But the whole football team decided to stay in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. And one man, one young man on that team, his name is Connor Brewer. And I read an article about him, and he just couldn't do it. He went out on the field and stood all by himself during the playing of the national anthem while his whole team stayed in the locker room during that time. And so I thought about this. What is going to be next? What's going to be next? Are fans that are sitting in the stadium, are they going to start sitting down, sitting out? Is it going to come to a place in our country where they no longer play the national anthem before sports events? Because I'm telling you, I could see riots breaking out in stadiums over stuff like that. People feel very, very, very strongly about showing your respect, standing, taking your hat off during the playing of the national anthem. And it's just, you know, whether you agree with what he did or why he did it, which I do not agree with him doing that. I just think it's in my opinion, and I know everybody's got their opinion, but I just think it's an example of going about something in the wrong way. And how do you know? Why would I say that? Well, the fruit of it. What come out of it? Is anything good come out of it? Is anything good coming out of it? I don't think so. It has not brought about more understanding. It has not brought about more dialogue about the issue at hand. It's brought about more division, angry words, hatred, anger. It's just brought about a lot of bad feelings, and then it's spreading throughout the nation as other people start doing that and taking it up, and it's looked at as an attack upon our nation. It's looked at it as being a traitorous towards our nation. But not to get off talking all about that, I want to tell you just a little bit about the struggle for religious freedom in colonial America. There's been more groups oppressed in America than one might realize. Once upon a time, there was a great struggle for religious freedom, and you could find yourself in a lot of trouble just for being a Christian and just for saying, I want to obey the Bible and I do not agree with the established church. Now, the pilgrims came to this country seeking religious freedom. The second wave that came to this country brought the Puritans. The pilgrims and the Puritans both came for the same reason. They came seeking religious freedom. Both the pilgrims and the Puritans came from the Anglican Church, the Church of England. Both of them realized that the Church of England was corrupt. The pilgrims who came first, when we're talking about the pilgrims, we're talking about the Mayflower, and we're talking about Thanksgiving, and you know, everybody has a good word to say about the pilgrims. Well, the pilgrims were separatists. And what I mean by that, when they saw that the Church of England had gone into apostasy, they believed that that what they had to do was to separate, to get out of it. And so at first, they left England, and they went to Holland, and it didn't work out in Holland. So from Holland, they came to the New World. They came to America seeking religious freedom, separating themselves from the Church of England that they had come out of. Now, the Puritans, they believed that the Church of England was corrupt, but they believed that the way to fix it was not to come out of it, but to stay in the Church of England, and to stay in the Church of England and purify it by their presence. That's why they're called the Puritans. Now, the Puritans came in a second wave to the New World, and the Puritans outnumbered the pilgrims by the thousands. And here's the thing. What the Puritans sought for themselves, they would not allow for others. They came seeking religious freedom and oppression from the Church of England. But they would not extend that religious freedom to anyone else. So they persecuted mainly Baptist people. Not just Baptist people. There's some Quakers in there in smaller numbers, but by and large it was the Baptist people that they persecuted, and they would not allow them the same religious freedom that they were seeking in coming to the New World. You talk about an oppressed people. The Baptist people, if you study this out in history, they were labeled the scum of the earth, and they were oppressed greatly over 200 years. Over 200 years in early America, from the 1620s on up until after the American Revolution. Over 200 years of religious persecution in America from New England all the way into the state of Georgia. And it took many different forms over the years. When Roger Williams came, and Roger Williams also, he spoke out against the abuses of the Anglican Church, and they banished him. He came to Massachusetts, and he began to preach, and he began to say, you know, there's things that are wrong. They banished him. That's how he ended up being the founder of the state of Rhode Island. He was banished by the religious crowd because he didn't go along to get along. And they were banished to the wilderness, which in those days, that was a death sentence. I mean, you didn't just get on I-40 and go down to the next state. I mean, if you were banished to the wilderness, it was literally the wilderness. And there was enemies out there, and there was danger out there, and there was nothing to eat, and it was cold, and you'd freeze to death, and all of these things. It was a dangerous thing. They would banish them from the colony. They would arrest them. They would put them on trial. They would beat them. There was a man named Obadiah Holmes in the 1600s who was beaten in Boston, in Main Street, Boston there. And they had a whipping post. And Obadiah Holmes was guilty. Here's what he had done. He had went to a man's house, an older man's house, who had asked for somebody to come and minister to him. And he didn't agree with the Church of England and infant baptism. So Obadiah Holmes and some other men, John Clark and some others, they went, they ministered to this man in his home. The officials came, they arrested them, they put them in prison, and they beat Obadiah Holmes on the street of Boston until the blood ran out into the streets. And people that saw it were amazed that he lived through the beating. and they beat him with a cat of nine tails. And I mean, it just laid open his flesh, and a terrible, terrible scene. They did that to a Christian man for attending a service in a private home. These things took place in our country. You don't hear very much about it. Beatings, burnings, hangings, confiscations. You talk about the Salem witch trials. You've heard about the Salem witch trials. You know, it's believed that actually some of them were Christians and that were accused of being involved in witchcraft. A lot of things went on. Confiscation of property, even wars in the South. The War of the Regulators that happened right here in North Carolina, historically is called the Battle Against the Baptists. And so there was a long time period in our country of struggle for religious freedom. Phil Stringer said in his book, The Faithful Baptist Witness, he said the heritage of the Baptists and other independents was a major force in creating the concept of freedom that the Western world enjoys today. Every non-Baptist should tip his hat every time he passes a Baptist church because he owes his freedom to the Baptists. Now, how did they use civics to gain religious freedom for all? And I'm going to pick this up a little bit more in detail next week, but because I see that my time is quickly almost come and gone today. But how did they gain their religious freedom? How did they use a knowledge of civics to get what they knew was right? Well, let me say today in closing that they did not have violent protests. You know, in the Declaration of, or in the Bill of Rights, Article 1, we have a right to peaceably assemble and address the government for grievances. And so they didn't have violent protests. They didn't burn the cities down like a lot of protesting that goes on today. They didn't loot businesses. They didn't burn the flag. They didn't attack the magistrates. That was the police and the sheriffs of that day. They weren't hunting them down and all of this stuff. But the magistrates were hunting them down, hauling them to prison, searching them, banishing them. I mean, they were terribly, terribly persecuted, but they did not return the violence that was put upon them. They didn't burn their cities to the ground and all of these things. That's the wrong way to go about it. And I see my time has come and gone, but next week we're going to see how they went about it the right way and how they gained what they wanted more than anything else, which was just freedom to worship God according to how they believe the Bible told them to worship God. They gained their right. It was already a right, but they gained their religious freedom. And so we'll see that next week. I do appreciate you listening in today. I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. We really need to pray for our nation. I've been trying to pray for our country in this election coming up. There's so much division, so much anger and things. Well, we really need the blessing of the Lord. So thank you for listening in. I hope it'll be a help to you and a blessing. Tune in next week at this same time. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.